You know, I feel so incredibly blessed to be surrounded with incredibly powerful women. I wish Avril could go everywhere I go and just put my heart into a space and then have the angel of the Lord known as Tempe come in and just make it all beautiful in heaven. Yes? How lucky are we? Yes? And I don't want to miss a moment to say thank you. You know, when you go away for a while, you begin to realize how blessed you are. You take a little bit of time to replenish your soul, and you look back and you go, man, my life, I'm a lucky guy. I am a lucky minister. I am a lucky human being to be surrounded with such power, such grace, such beauty, such wisdom. You know, we're all crossing over heaven and earth and rivers and seas and oceans and sometimes hell, aren't we? To get a hold of the divine self. That's the work that we do here. We come together to cross over whatever needs to be crossed over to re-grab that warrior's hand, that hero that's within each and every one of us, that's been always there, will always be there, but sometimes gets forgotten. Have you noticed that? That divine essence and light, known by a thousand different names, it doesn't really matter what you call that essence, but ours is to take the journey step by step, breath by breath, and heartbeat by heartbeat to remember who we are in the great forgetting and in the great remembrance. Yes? I just came back from California where I spent some time with my family, and I got a firsthand look that not everybody is willing to make that journey. Not everybody is willing to take that step or that breath or that risk or that challenge. They quit. They quit looking for that, and they just got comfortable with life as it was, even in mediocrity, even in good enough. Anybody ever live in the energy of good enough? I've been there, and good enough can feel comfortable for a while until it doesn't feel comfortable. Then it becomes stagnation. But every one of us comes here on Sunday morning, crossing an ocean in mind and heart and spirit and circumstance to find something. To remember something, to awaken something. And I thought, as I was away watching the beautiful, powerful women do these services while I was gone, this is sacred work. This is holy and sacred work. Do you believe that? It's not something that we should take lightly. Yes, and you know, and sometimes people say, how was it to get away? It wasn't about getting away, it was going within. The journey was to go within and to recognize that my view had maybe gotten a little bit too narrow. But there are people on the planet who have quit searching, so pat yourself on the back that you're here, that you're still looking. You're still putting the energy in. However difficult the journey might be, you're still here. This is the sacred, beautiful work that we do. It's called soul retrieval. Every time we come together, we are seeking that soul, the warrior, the hero, the essence, the light. And that is holy, sacred work that we cannot take lightly. But some people have just quit, and that's what I call a rut. Anybody ever been in a rut before? Yeah, I've lived in a rut a good portion of my life, and I come in and out of that rut based upon my desire and my willingness to work hard. Because the spiritual path is hard work, yes? There's nothing easy about it. It causes us to have to challenge ourselves and our thinking and to dig out of ruts. But we come together on Sunday morning to help each other dig out of the rut, to put up the sails and cross the ocean, to remember who we are. And that seems so simple, yet it is the most profound journey of being on earth. There's this old song I like to sing, "The winds of God are blowing, unfurl your sails." And what's holy about this community is that Bill comes and he helps me put up my sails as I help him put up his sails. Laura comes and she says, "The winds of God are blowing. Come on, put up the sails and let's go across the ocean and remember who we are individually and collectively." That's soul retrieval. Anybody have any experience with soul retrieval ever? It's a shamanistic term where basically it's an understanding that when there is trauma, when there is difficult emotional wounding or trauma or something happens, a piece of the soul, much like the body, that shuts down when it's in a car accident, gets set aside to protect itself. Well, the soul does exactly the same thing. A little piece gets put on a shelf to protect you. It's untouched by the human experience. But unlike the body that comes back into its wholeness, the soul stays there. We'll call it across the ocean. That piece of the soul does not come back until we consciously and proactively sail the ocean to get it back and to bring it home. Now, many people say, well, it always happens as a trauma, an instantaneous explosion or bomb or some emotional upheaval happens, and it's an instantaneous setting aside, and it does happen that way. But as I examine the human experience in my own life, it happens much more moment by moment, little choice by little choice, little experience by little experience, where I decide I can't be in my fullness in this moment. I have to hide a little bit. I have to put a mask on in this moment. And so I just take a little piece of my soul and put it on the shelf. Doesn't feel traumatic. Doesn't feel dramatic. And so it's easy to do. It's just, I'll get back to that. And a little piece goes over here and a little more piece. And the next thing you know, I've forgotten who I am. The next thing you know, I don't know who I am. Because all of who I am, the essence, the warrior, is across an ocean. And I've forgotten that I put it there. Anybody resonate with that? The world supports that right now. The human ego running the human race on the planet right now supports you doing that. Don't shine too brightly. Take your soul, put it over there, put it over there, and then we become the walking dead. And to an extent, a vacation is a nice way to realize that you have become the walking dead. It's a nice chance to look at the DNA as you go back to your family environment and you realize that, thank God, I've got a community that keeps me awake. You are holy, precious sanctuary to my soul, to my warrior, to my hero. And I hope that this place is that for you as well, because when you don't have it, it's really easy to go to sleep. One traumatic decision or one unconscious decision after another. You see, many times this soul retrieval that's needed is a gradual moment-to-moment setting aside of ourselves that happens over time, and we simply go unconscious to who we truly are. An experience of habitual shutting down of our soul, all that looks and it feels like a rut. And somewhere across the ocean is the voice of the infinite, of God. I don't care what you call it. And it's saying, don't forget I'm here. Somewhere in you, right here today, you got up and made your way to this community because there was a warrior and a hero in you that said, I'm still here. I know life is difficult right now, but I'm still here. Stay awake. This awareness can be very difficult. Anybody ever have the awareness, oh my gosh, I'm in a rut? If you're on an evolutionary process, you're going to grow and you're going to hit a plateau. It's part of growing to recognize it. And it can be really depressing to go, oh my gosh, I'm in a rut. I'm doing the same things. I'm having the same thoughts. I'm reacting in the same ways. That can be a difficult, depressing moment, or it can be epiphanal. It can be revelatory. Oh my gosh, I'm about to grow. When I find myself in that dark night of the soul, I don't push it away anymore and pretend it's not there. I embrace and hug the monster and say, yes, I'm about to grow. And what's holy and sacred about a community is we get to come together and hug the monsters, hug the shadow, hug the difficulty, hug the dark spaces. And we do it together. And sometimes that encouragement, sometimes it's a kick in the butt. Sometimes it's just a word, always delivered in love, but it feels abrasive. You're calling me out. It's called accountability. What we do in this community is hold each other accountable to the hero, to the warrior. Sometimes the voice of the hero and the warrior is the person sitting next to you right now that's whispering, there's more to life. There's more to you. There's more to experience. The voice of God is sitting to your left and your right. It's in front of you and it's behind you right now. That's why I come and get up even when I'm tired, even when things are difficult, because I want to be around the voice of God. Turn to somebody around you and say, you are the voice of God. There comes a moment in everybody's life, you cannot escape this, everybody's life, when the mundane, habitual patterns, the ordinary life, the rut, becomes louder than the fear of digging out. There comes a moment when the boring life, the same stuck patterns, becomes louder than the fear it takes to get out of that rut. When it takes to go to a higher place, a higher vibration, to change the thought, to change the routine. It can be depressing or it can be a moment of soul retrieval. That's what we do here. And you will be reminded. And if you can't handle being reminded, it's going to get uncomfortable. But I say, let's invite it. Let's invite the calling out of each other's shadow and know that we're growing together. We realize there's a moment in life when we realize that the ceiling that we have put over us and the walls that we've put to protect ourselves, that's a part of the human experience, are now so close that I can no longer stretch my wings. That's what the rut is. I've got the wings. They have not been clipped, but there's no room to exercise the wings. And so I curse life. I curse this. But there's a crack in the ceiling that begins to let me see the light, to remind me that I've still got wings. And somewhere Spirit is whispering, there's more to you. There's more to you. Don't fear the light when it comes in. Don't curse it. How dare you call me out on my stuff? Welcome it and embrace it. It's like St. Paul on the road to Damascus. St. Paul was a pretty angry guy. His sole mission was to go destroy the Christ, to go shut down the message of the light and the love. And he was angry, and he was going to Damascus to find Jesus and put him to death. And then he went blind. Anybody ever feel like you've gone blind? You just can't see what you can't see. You don't know what you don't know. You're just living life in a rut, day to day, unconsciously. That's what happened with St. Paul. And a lot of the human race is blind today. But then there's that great epiphany after how many days? Three. Three represents completion. It represents wholeness. It represents what, as long as it takes to have that great awakening. After 3 days, he was singing, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I remember who I am. I once was blind, but now I see. I am so grateful for the long line of people that served as the presence of God to say, you're blind, you're not in congruity with your hero. You're not in congruity with the war. You're in a pattern that is a holding pattern that is pulling you farther and farther and farther away. And so sometimes the warrior shows up as little Julie Steele, saying, is that really what you want to say? Is that really what you want to think? I think you might be in a rut. Now I have a choice in that moment to be offended or to go, thank God. We're both about to grow. Thank God. This can be a holy moment. Bless it. Yes, it must be delivered in love always, and I've never known Julie Steele to deliver anything other than love, but sometimes she'll say, is that really the way you want to behave? You might be a little blind. Now, let's get real clear. Ruts can be really comfortable places. Have you noticed that? Why is that? Ruts can be really comfortable, safe places. Maybe not so safe, because they're decorated with comfortable cushions and drapery made of excuses. Uh-oh, tough love, take up your mat and walk. Ruts are made of comfortable excuses, scapegoats, and the illusory feeling of protected normalcy, and meanwhile, your wings are dying. Your wings and your soul are dying. We say things in this rut like, this is just how I am. This is just the way life is. It's good enough. Anybody use the word good enough? That shuts down God. That shuts down the greatest version of who you were meant to be. Oh, it's not that bad. I'll work on that tomorrow. Anybody say that? Yeah, I'll do my inner work, my shadow work tomorrow, later. And later never comes. Tomorrow never comes. And if you think that what we do here is just coming together to have a good time, think again, because what we're doing here is we're bringing later into the now moment. We're bringing tomorrow into the now moment, and we're working on our stuff individually and collectively. Yes? Yes. Is it always comfortable? Sure. Hell no. It is not always comfortable, but it is holy and it is sacred. There's always something in you that's remembering your power, your wings. The hero has not lost their power. The warrior has not lost their power. They just quit exercising it. And so let's get busy exercising our wings and our power. And the old Charlie Thweet song that I love, take your power back that you've been given. Get it back like you had it before. Take your power back that you've been given. Get it back and you'll have even more. Have even more. And sometimes that's not comfortable. Julie Steele's going to come to me and say, take your power back, brother. You're in a rut and you've lost it and you're dying. And I know life for you. I claim light for you. I claim flying and soaring for you. And in that epiphanal moment, that exchange of energy that happens all over this community, that holy restlessness Ever feel that divine discontent, that sacred discontent? There's got to be more. That's the voice of God from within, and it's the voice of Julie Steele doing business as God on the outside saying, there's more. How does it show up? How does it show up to you? How does the rut show up? Anybody call it out? Depression, sadness, boring. I just came back from California, and let me tell you, I have a bunch of people in my family that are bored out of their mind. But they've got their routine. It's the same crossword puzzle passed around to the family, done every day, and then they argue over what's the right answer and what isn't the right answer. And then they get the paper and they change it and put in new words, and then dad picks it up and puts it. It starts with boredom. But boredom unanswered in a rut becomes what? Frustration. There was a lot of frustration on the faces of my family. They got frustrated, easily irritated with each other. Warning, Will Robinson, warning, you're in a rut, you're in a rut. But then it gets a little bit more serious. Frustration unanswered, a rut not answered, not interrupted, becomes what?
Anger.
My father, on day one of this trip, was angrier than I'd ever seen him. It broke my heart. And anger, unchecked, uninterrupted, becomes rage. And rage would be over silly things about what was on the dinner plate, or the extra $2 you spent to tip the waitress. It's not that my father is a bad person. My father is a really good, upstanding, moral man, and he's full of rage. He's full of anger because the pattern was not interrupted. Now, I'm not calling it bad. I'm not calling any of that bad. No matter what emotion you're feeling, it's not bad. Don't make it the enemy. It's information. It's indication of a rut. There's a rut here, and I can either curse it, be the enemy of it, or I can be the pattern interrupter. And let me tell you, I love going home to my family and interrupting patterns. I wasn't always comfortable with that, but I've gotten, because of the work that we do here, I've gotten really comfortable dancing into the living room with my father going, "What is wrong with you?" Doing things that are out of the ordinary, because let me tell you, 3 days in, it's very easy for me to drop down into the rut and become Little Richie in a matter of moments. To fall into the pattern, the comfort zone of the family, and bring the walls in, the ceiling in, the wings in, and go, "No, this is good enough." Or to go, "Okay, this is going to be uncomfortable. Let me call things out. Let's talk about them." None of it's bad if we pay attention and listen to the whisper underneath the emotion, "You were made for more than this." Those are words that don't get spoken. In my household, that's very unsafe, but we spoke them. "You were made for more than this, Dad." Mom, who's just accepted the rut, "It is what it is, it's good enough." "No, it's not good enough. Mom, you were made for life. My sisters, my brother, you were made for more." And I had to tell myself, I was made for more than this. And I only can do that now because of the people sitting in this room and the community that says, this is holy, sacred work. That's the moment when the world cracks a little bit and you get a glimpse of the sky through the very low ceiling that you didn't know you were living under. Again, that can be depressing. It's pretty cramped in here. But it can be the moment of glorious choice, decision, and grace. Grace works through us and as us. But what do we do? What do we run to do? We silence it with busyness, right? Let's just get busy. This is too uncomfortable to deal with this. Let me just get busy. Or let me get online and do endless scrolling. Let me just scroll online for hours. I checked how many hours I have spent on my phone, and it was a little bit depressing. And then I went, wait a minute, here's the opportunity for change. Here's the opportunity for a different decision. And then I tell you, you come face to face with addiction. I'll put it down. Well, wait a minute. I'll put it down. I wonder if, and there it is. And then the anger, the frustration when somebody calls you out. Put the phone down, enjoy life. Oh, I get angry about it. Oh my God, help, I'm turning into my father. Help, I'm turning into my father. It's right there, it's in my DNA. It's as close as the rut that I was living in when I went home. That light can feel very scary. It can feel rude, and it can feel intrusive. If Julie Steele comes to me and calls me out and calls my light out, it can feel rude, and it can feel intrusive. Like, how dare you? Or it can feel glorious. And it can feel all of these things at the same time. I'm saying, let it feel glorious. When somebody notices something about the way you're living life, take it as information and dance. And dance, even if it is uncomfortable. Because the soul is going to wait. It's on the other side of the ocean, and it's waiting for you. And it has all the time in the world. The soul, the warrior, the hero, has more time than you do humanly on earth, so you might as well cooperate, because it's going to wait you out. Don't forget who you are. Remember who you are. I'm waiting at the other side of the ocean. For each individual in my family system, there was an intentional and purposeful interruption of the pattern. Try something different, say something different, do something different. And let me tell you, the environment that I walked into 2 weeks ago that was bored, frustrated, and angry. The day I was getting on a plane to come home, my father went to the stereo and he put on music that I'd forced him to listen to music because I played nonstop on the piano I learned to play on. And he knew I was leaving. And he said, there was a CD around here of James Galway that you gave me at one point. He had not played that stereo for probably 10 years. Somehow it still worked. He put in the James Galway, and my father was doing, at 88 years old, was dancing in the living room. Because one person had the guts to interrupt the pattern. I want you to dance. That's why I will get in your face. I will get into your soul and dance, even when it's uncomfortable. That's when I will say, take your power back. There's more to you that wants to live here. That's what we do here. That is holy, sacred work. And as I got on the plane, I thought about a story that you've all heard 100 times, but it really bears repeating because it's exactly what happened when I went home. It's by Portia Nelson. An autobiographical story, that's easy for me to say, in 5 chapters, and I've added a 6th chapter that Bruce gave me first service. Chapter 1, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. It's not my fault. I wait angrily for somebody to rescue me. Chapter number 2, I walk down the same street, and there's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it, and I fall in again. I cannot believe that I am in the same hole. It isn't my fault, and it takes me a long time to crawl out of the hole. Chapter number 3, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it there. I still fall in. It's now a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. Hey, it is my fault. And I can get out of here. And I get out immediately. Chapter number 4, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter number 5, that was the pattern interrupt, by the way. Chapter number 5, I walk down another street. That's the work we do here. You might want to think differently, do something differently, react differently, because I know who you are, and let's do it together. Let's put the sails up and reclaim the hero. Let's put the sails up and go across the sea in the ocean of negativity and limitation and reclaim the hero. And then Bruce said it beautifully. Chapter number 6. I walk down another street, but then I go back and I repair the hole. Sitting in this sanctuary today are people that fix the holes, that fix the rut. We need to give credence to their experience. We need to give credence to what they have experienced. Yes, we are a bit seasoned here in this congregation, but there's young people in the room. We're so happy you're here. And the world has evolved so much more that the young people have fixed holes that we haven't discovered yet. We're working together as a community, as a family, to dance around the living room and interrupt the patterns. That's holy, sacred work, but we have to be willing to sail the ocean from rut to revelation. Let's read them together. From rut to revelation, from failure to freedom, from victimhood to vision, from habit to healing, from coping to creating, from resentment to responsibility. There's a lot of holes in this earthly journey, right? We see them, we know they're there. We find ourselves in the same endless arguments with the same meaningless topics over and over and over and over again. Have you noticed that? And the same people, we're in the same argument, the same pattern for the last 20 years. Maybe we are the one that walks down a different street. And maybe we'll hold hands and walk down a different street together. That's the sacred work we do. The ceiling cracks just a little bit, and we put our hands up there and crack it open even more. And it's going to be uncomfortable. The rut begins to loosen its grip just a little bit more. And what emerges? It's not a new you. I want to be real clear about that. What emerges when you open the crack and the rut fills in and you get out and you go down a new street is not a new you. It's the you you have always been that you forgot. It's the hero. It's the warrior. And let me tell you, if it took me going away for 2 weeks to recognize how blessed we are to have warriors and heroes cracking things open, cracking my heart and my soul open, and allowing me to do that for you, then take 2 weeks. Take 2 weeks and then take a good hard look at the good work that we do here. And that soul, that warrior, and that hero is, when you get to the other side of the ocean, is saying, "What took you so long?" And there are people in this congregation that will tell you, "What took you so long?" Because the voice of Spirit is speaking as them. So this week, you have homework. I like to give homework. Challenge yourself. Challenge your thinking. Challenge one thought, one idea. Challenge your experience and dance in the living room when everybody thinks you're a nutcase. You know, it's that old phrase, I can't remember who said it, and those that were seen dancing were thought crazy by the people who could not hear the music. I danced the music in my father's living room until he could hear it for himself. That makes me tear up because it was absolute proof that a difference can be made if we're willing to sit in the fire and refine ourselves long enough. Stretch. Try something different. Interrupt the patterns of your thinking and your feeling and your experience. And then maybe week after week after week, because you keep coming back and cannot get the advantage of this coming once a year, twice a year. This is a regular practice of evolution, yes? I tried doing church once or twice a year. I did not get the advantage of the community. I did not get the sacredness. And that's not for any other purpose other than we know who you are. And we know the possibility for you if you make the commitment and dance in the fire. And so it is, so it shall be, and so it will always be. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, and thank you, Unity North.